Couldn't resist. Okay, happy Independence Day weekend. And it's because of our forefathers that we have the freedom still to meet as Christians in our country and preach and teach the Word of God and worship Jesus Christ. So what I'd like you to do is please stand and we will salute the flag of the United States of America. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Kids are going to be dismissed, okay? If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We love to give out Bibles here. Love to have you follow along. We are concluding the book of Romans this morning. Romans chapter 16. Paul the bodybuilder. We'll see what that's all about in a moment. We've opened our Bible. What's the next step? Open your heart. You can have an open Bible and a closed heart. And a closed mind. So let's open our hearts and minds before the Lord. Father, thank you for your precious word, which is truth. In a world that's just filled with lies, half-truths, fake news, thank you, Lord, that we have the truth in our hands this morning. And I pray that it would go from our hands to our heart, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to receive what you have for us, and that our hearts would be filled with good soil, that we would bear much fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. So have your way this morning, Lord. Teach us, lead us, and guide us in all truth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been an interesting week for me. If you were here Wednesday, we had the first chapter of Matthew, which is a whole bunch of names. And if you read ahead this morning, we have the 16th chapter of Romans, which is a whole bunch of names. The only easy name on Wednesday night was the Spanish guy, Perez. I know. So I'll do the best I can to mispronounce the words here this morning. And Romans 16. At first glance, to some, this seems to be an uninteresting chapter. Sometimes that can happen. Sometimes people that read through the Bible in 1 year oftentimes skip Matthew chapter 1 and oftentimes skip Romans chapter 16 and they think, well, what's this all about? Well, I got news for you. Every single word, every cross T, every dotted I, every yacht, and every tittle of this incredible book is given by the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's there for good reason. And so with a whole list of names here this morning, this chapter actually gives us by the Holy Spirit, a remarkable chapter. I was really struggling when I started it at the beginning of the week, and then it got better. The more I studied, the more God began to speak to me through His Word, and the more clear it became why He has this chapter here. Last Wednesday, Gospel of Matthew, first 17 verses, we had a whole list of names, and this morning we're going to have 36 more names as we go through this. However, when we take a closer look at both of these chapters, again, they're given by the Holy Spirit, they're inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit always gives us important lessons to learn for us as believers. As I've often mentioned, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And it's good to have a commentary along with the Bible and a dictionary so you can do cross-references and all with some of the names that we find. And it's amazing what you can find if you take the time to study God's Word. Instead of just oftentimes people rush through it just to get through the one-year Bible to do their spiritual duty. But you know what? I would much rather read 3, 4, 5 verses in God's Word and have it resonate within my soul than to have to rush through a couple of chapters just to get through the one-year Bible. It's important that we chew the cud, if you would. That's what the term means. That it would resonate within our very souls. And if we take the time to research these names and where they're located in Scripture, not all of them, some of them we don't find anything written about these people, but there's a wealth of information that's available to us. And there's a lot of spiritual lessons for us. And so here in Romans 16, Paul greets in the first section at least 26 people by name. I got to give Paul credit. Oftentimes on Sundays and Wednesdays, whenever we get together, I look at people and I forget their name. You probably never have that problem, right? So it's like, good morning, brother, or good morning, sister, you know. I've only known him 20, 30, 40, 50 years. As I've always said, the first thing to get raptured is our brain, so I'm halfway home. But here Paul mentions 26 people by name. That's the ministry of a pastor, is to know the sheep. To feed the sheep, but to know them and to bless them. Two words we're going to see over and over in this section of Scripture is greet and beloved. Paul loved the people. They were his beloved sheep to minister to. He also greets several churches here that were meeting in someone's home. Paul closes with greetings from 9 believers who were with him in Corinth when he wrote this letter. And what this last chapter shows us is that Paul loved people. That's so important. And many times I've commended this fellowship of believers for your love for one another. This just isn't some religious organization. You people love one another because you have a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what he says? That we're to love one another just as he loved us. And so Paul, in this last chapter, shows us that he was not only a soul winner, but he was a friend maker. And again, one of the many complaints you hear about churches, number one, of course, is all they want your money. And secondly, I've heard a lot of people say about churches when they visit theirs, they weren't friendly, nobody talked to me. We insist that you guys fellowship with one another and love one another. And Paul was not isolated. He had many friends whom he had loved and appreciated. And he names a lot of them here. They helped him personally as well as in his ministry. This church could not go on without you. It is amazing what God does through people. Jesus said that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, and that the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is a servant of all. And that's what really blesses my heart about this fellowship of people. You people serve one another and love one another, and you're friendly to one another. And that's a rarity today. It really is. And so Paul was not isolated. He had many friends. They helped him personally. They helped him in his ministry. We all need friends. We all need one another like never before. The darker it gets in America and the more hostile it gets, the more we're going to draw together one another as the body of Christ. We are sheep. Sheep are in flocks. And a good shepherd is in the midst of the flock. That's so important. And so many shepherds miss that today. I've had people visit and say, man, I can't believe after the service you're standing out here greeting people. I love people. I love you guys. You guys are the beloved of God. I thank God for you every day. I pray for you every day. And I'm not trying to make points here this morning. I'm being real. We need one another like never before. And so Paul begins his greeting of his friends in verses 1 to 16, beginning with a sister in the Lord named Phoebe. Let's look at the first two verses. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many, and also of myself also. Wow, what a sister. Paul commends her. for saints to read about for 2,000 years. Phoebe. Phoebe means pure. She lived up to her name. And that's another thing. Back then, they used to, all of the names that they gave people meant something. I think it's so important that you research the name of your kids before you give it to them. And, you know, there's a lot of wonderful biblical names that have excellent meanings. Phoebe means pure. It says she was a servant of the church in Centuria. The term servant there is deacon or deaconess. We don't give titles here. Why? Because Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom is servant of all. You want to be great in the kingdom, be a servant. I think it's so important that we don't look for titles to serve. I've had people ask me, why aren't you called reverend? Chuck Smith told us years ago that reverend is mentioned one time in the Psalms, and it's for God alone. Yeah. People say, what do I call you? I go, Joe. Or for dinner. Just kidding. I'll get a million phone calls now for dinner. Joe. Joe is who I am. Pastor is what I do. Small p. We're not looking for titles. And we don't have really deacons or deaconesses here. We have ushers. We have people that serve in various ministries, greeters and all. But the all important thing is to serve the body of Christ, to serve his sheep. And so the term servant means to be a helper, deacon or deaconess in the church. At Centuria, near Corinth, Centuria was a port city near Corinth, and that's where Phoebe was from, miles from the center of town, 6 miles. And so Phoebe carried this letter of Paul's from Corinth to Rome. What a tremendous responsibility this lady had. She was faithful. Paul knew that. Faithful to serving the flock, faithful to serving Paul. And so after this letter was written, she took this letter to Rome. And what a tremendous responsibility this was to carry this important letter that here we read over 2,000 years later. Paul spent a year and a half in Corinth, and it was during that time that Phoebe was won to Christ. Women in the early church, as well as today, have an important part of ministry. It's really, really important. The ladies in the fellowship. I can't emphasize that enough. Every single woman in this fellowship is important, as well as every single man in this fellowship is important, because we are a body. The body of Christ. Every part is important. You look at the human body, and even the little baby toe is important. You don't pay attention to it until you stub it in the middle of the night when you're getting up for a drink of water or something, and you're doing the Mexican hat dance. And my wife said, what are you doing? I go, oh, I stubbed my toe again. You know, call me a tow truck. Just kidding. But women in the church are really important. Back in those days, they visited the sick. That's important today as well, isn't it? They assisted the younger women in growth. Biblical principle, the older men are to disciple the younger men, the older women are to disciple the younger women. We read about Timothy. We're going through 1 and 2 Timothy with guys on Tuesday morning. And Timothy was discipled by his grandmother and his mother. That's important, how women are important in the church today. Also, they fed the poor. And Paul says of Phoebe here that she had been a helper of many, as well as to himself. And you know what? Some of the greatest blessings that we receive as Christians is when we can help someone. Isn't that a wonderful feeling when you truly help somebody? Not that that's the reason you do it, but when we reach out and help someone that really needs help, it comes back to us 100-fold. Just the joy that comes, and you know, just the wonderful feeling of being Christ-like and ministering to people. We're all ministers, small m. We're all ministers, and we're all to minister to people. And the women are very, very good at that, feeding the poor, assisting younger women, visiting the sick. And Paul, you know, said she was a helper of many, this Phoebe. And Paul encourages the church to receive her and take care of her when she gets to Rome. verses 3 to 5. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. So next, Paul sends greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, whom, as we read in Acts chapter 18, 1 to 3, and verse 18 and verse 26, they ministered with Paul as tent makers. Yes, when Paul needed to support his own ministry, he went out and went to work. I think that's important today. If funds are running short in the church, go get a job, Pastor. How do I know about that? I worked when we planted a church in Vermont. Tina and I both worked two or three jobs. I'm not boasting, but you know what? Through working outside of the church, we got to meet people in the community, and God built the church in that community through people that we met. And so I think it's important. What a wonderful testimony that is for Paul. If things are tight, go get a job, go to work. That's so, so important. And so here we see that they were tent makers together, behind the scenes. Their gifts were hospitality as well as teaching. Not public speakers, but teaching in the privacy of their own home. They had a fellowship meeting in their home. We're not given the details, but also Paul testifies here that they risked their lives, their own necks for Paul's life. What a tremendous act of courage. And again, we don't know the details, but they actually risked their lives for Paul. As we see, Paul says to greet the church that is in their house. And again, look at the heart of Paul. Greet the church. Greet Phoebe. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. It's so important that we're friendly. And Paul was a friendly guy. He was touchable. He wasn't above the people. He was in the midst of the people. I remember years ago as well, going into ministry, and I was told that the shepherd always smells like the flock. Be in the midst of them. You say, what do you mean? You tell me we stink? No. But sometimes I'll shake somebody's hand that had some strong aftershave. I'll be on my hand for a week. No, just kidding. Or you hug somebody. You've had that happen before, I'm sure. Aftershave, cologne, perfume, whatever. We smell like the flock. And that's a good thing. To be in the midst of the people and not above the people. And so there was an actual congregation that met in their home. In those days, there were no actual church buildings until the second century. Home fellowships, home churches. I think it's, you know, not about numbers. God's not concerned with numbers today as much as he is spiritual health. He told Peter three times, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Behold, sheep food. The milk, the meat, and the manna that we need in our lives to grow as Christians. I think that's so important to realize and recognize. And you've heard me share it 100 times, if you've been here any length of time, that this is not the church. This is the church. The blood-bought saints of Jesus Christ. It's not about a building. This building's coming down one day. They're all coming down. People are talking about global warming. It's coming. But not the Al Gore kind. Global warming is coming, folks, very, very soon. And like Ryan shared, this is the hottest it's going to get for us, 118 today. So, but the first 16 verses of this chapter here this morning shows us that Paul truly practiced what he preached. In the last couple of weeks, we've seen this Greek word, oikodomeo, oikodomeo, which means to edify. Back in chapters 14 and 15, the main emphasis was edification, the building up of the body of Christ. That's where the title of the message came from here this morning, Bodybuilders. Paul was also a bodybuilder. He edified. He built people up. That's so important that we're all bodybuilders in the body of Christ. Part of building the body is not just tickling ears. You don't, you know, not making people feel good about themselves. Welcome to Houston. No. When you really feel good about yourself is when you know that all of your sins have been forgiven, you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness, and you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And no matter where you are, what you're going through, and that really makes you feel good, doesn't it? That's why if you really love the church as a minister, if you really want to be a bodybuilder in the church, you give them the whole Word of God, all of it. You don't compromise. You don't water it down. You don't change it. That's misrepresentation of character. When you're standing in the pulpit with God's Word, you better properly represent God and His Word. Otherwise, it's defamation of character. And the Bible says in James 3:1, not everyone should teach because you will receive a stricter judgment. And yes, there are some things, man, that just hammer us that we read, but that's a good thing. I'm so grateful that 42 years ago, God hammered my stony heart and broke it through His Word and gave me a heart transplant. Took the old stony heart out and gave me a new heart without even leaving an incision. That's what God does today. That's what God's Word does. Every word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And God's Word never returns void. That's why it's so important to just preach the Word, give the Word of God out. And Paul was encouraging the believers to edify one another, build one another up. And I would encourage you to do that today, to be reminded to build one another up, not tear one another down. And because it was a mixture of Jews and Gentiles in the church at Rome, they were coming against one another at times over food laws, over holidays, and all of that stuff. What we need to do is we need to be like-minded and come together on the Holy Scriptures. What does God say about the food we eat? What does God say about the days that we celebrate? What does the Word of the Lord say? And if there's someone that came out of a situation like, you know, a Jew coming into the congregation and getting saved, and you don't go eating pork chops or bacon in front of them. Be gracious. Be loving. Come alongside. Build them up. Don't tear them down. Give them time. Next thing you know, you'll be going out to lunch with them having a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, you know? But I think it's so important that we love one another. Orkodomeo, edify, build up, don't tear down. And what an example Paul is. Look at verse 5 again. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. And so Epaphras, his name means praiseworthy. He was one of the first converts in Achaia. And Paul calls him beloved. What a wonderful term. I think that's a term we need to use more and more and more in the church today. Beloved of God. That's you. If you're a believer, you're beloved of God. And even if you're an unbeliever, God loves you. God wants to save you. God sent His Son for you into this world to save you from your sins. Verse 6. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Now, as you know, there's a lot of Marys in Scripture. We're not sure which Mary this is, only that she is listed here for laboring in the church. What a great testimony. Verse 7. Greet, here we go, Andronicus and Eunia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. And so here he names two guys, Andronicus and Eunia, his fellow countrymen, he says, meaning that they were Jewish, maybe even from the tribe of Benjamin, as Paul was. They were fellow prisoners with Paul, and they were highly respected by the apostles. They were willing to go to prison for the gospel of Jesus Christ with Paul. And I often wonder, and maybe you do too as well, how long will it be in America before they will be arresting pastors for preaching the truth of God's Word? Yeah. When we don't go along with woke, when we don't go along with LGBTQHIJKLMNOPQRSTUVWXYZ, they keep adding to that list that God warns about. Someone sent me a video yesterday about a lady pastor back east who had a sparkle creed. Google it, check it out. It's totally perverted and blasphemous. They say Jesus had two fathers. Blasphemy. That's what she was preaching to the congregation that sat there and took it in. And she also talked about woke and the rainbow and all of this stuff. That's totally contrary to the Word of God, which is truth. Are we anti-homosexual? We love the homosexual, but we hate the perverted sin that God warns about. My heart breaks for those that are caught up in the sin of homosexuality. I'm not bashing them or blasting them. The things that I was involved in before I came to know Jesus Christ are just as worthy of hell as anything that they do. God does not grade on a curve. The wages of sin is death. And so here we see a couple of guys that went to prison with Paul. And someone mentioned a couple of weeks ago, aren't you afraid to go to jail for the gospel? And you know what I said? Man, will there be great fellowship in there? There won't be no lukewarm pastors there. There's a price to pay for the truth. And have you noticed it's getting darker and darker and darker and darker in the world in which we live? Another thing that I saw yesterday, or a couple days ago on TV, I was talking about it yesterday with the guys at Men's Prayer. Carl's Jr. has a Diablo burger. Have you seen that commercial? Diablo means devil. And you know what the price of this burger is? $6.66. What a coincidence, right? $6.66 for a devil burger. Hello? It's getting darker every day. You think it's bad today? Just wait till tomorrow. Isn't it wonderful to have the truth, though? We know about 666, the mark of the beast. And another thing, look how close we are getting to forehead, right hand marks. Cashless society. And there's a lot of countries today that now are cashless. And there are even some companies in America that have marks on people's right hand and forehead for identification. Crazy. We're there. Don't buy green bananas. You might not see them get ripe. And so here we see in verse 8, moving right along, we'll get through these names. I still got three more hours. Just kidding. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. What a wonderful term. And again, nothing is known in Scripture of this one called Amplius, but Paul does mention his name, and he sends a greeting to his beloved in the Lord. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful term that is. What an incredible blessing to be mentioned in Scripture by Paul. You and I will never have our names mentioned in Scripture, but you know what's greater than having your name mentioned in the Bible? Having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, thank you, Lord. It's not all about pride and fame and, oh, look, my name is here. No. So it's so humbling, and I'm so grateful that Jesus Christ saved my soul, and I'm sure you feel the same way, and that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Same holds true for Urbanus and Stachys, fellow workers. Look at verse 9. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Again, he greets them and calls them beloved. We need to add that word to our vocabulary. You are the beloved of God. Jesus Christ loves you. He died a brutal death on that cross for you. And by the way, that's another thing. Someone I know in this fellowship researched churches all over. Very few even had a cross on the wall. How sad. They don't want to hurt somebody's self-esteem. I got news for you. No cross, no crown. They gave us a church building in Vermont, and it was a big stained glass window in the front. It was 200 years old, and guess what it said on the stained glass window? No cross, no crown. You will never have a crown in heaven without the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's always a reminder. This is not a religious thing. It's a reminder, along with the crown of thorns that Jesus Christ wore on our behalf. And so here we see two more that he greets. And Stachys, his name is mentioned here, as Paul's beloved. Let me give you the definition of beloved, just in case you don't know. It means dearly loved. And when I use the term to you, beloved of God, it means that you are dearly loved by God, your heavenly Father. It also means one who is greatly loved, one who is very dear to God. Isn't that amazing? It just almost gives me sheep bumps. Yeah, that's what God sees when he looks at you and I. You are dearly loved, you are greatly loved, and you are very dear to God. Man, oh man. And again, look at the love of Paul, the love of the church, the love of the saints. Paul, the bodybuilder, he's building people up, encouraging them. He's practicing what he preached in chapters 14 and 15. He just doesn't close his letter with sincerely or in his service. He names 26 people in this section by name, with greetings to them. And the greetings are everything from beloved to fellow workers, to laborers, to countrymen, to fellow prisoners approved in Christ, chosen in the Lord, brethren. And as we'll see, he's going to also say, greet one another with a holy kiss. A holy kiss. That's not sloppy agape. It's a holy kiss in love, Christian love to one another. Verse 10, we're going to pick up speed a little bit here. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Wow. And again, because of Jesus' shed blood on the cross, we are approved in Christ. We are saved. Our sins are as far as the east is from the west, deepest part of the sea. God remembers our sin no more because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We are approved in Christ. Thank God. Don't ever seek the world's approval. Stand fast on the word. Don't be, belligerent by any means, or, don't be offensive, but speak the truth in love. And when you do that, the amazing thing is you're not always going to meet their approval. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. And again, Herodian, more than likely a Jew, and could have been from the tribe of Benjamin with Paul, a countryman, and also Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. Isn't that interesting, some of these couples? Priscilla and Aquila. Tryphena and Tryphosa. We used to be Joe and Tina from West Covina. Couldn't resist. Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Again, he's commending them for serving the Lord. And it can be what the world would consider just little things that are storing up great treasures in heaven. I love it around here when I see people straightening the chairs, dusting off things, vacuuming, whatever it might be. Getting the donuts ready upstairs. I really like that. And coffee. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes where people are laboring for the Lord that help this fellowship survive. Because one person can't do it all. We're a body. And it's so important that we have hands and feet and we all chip in and help one another. And I would encourage you to pray. If you're not serving somewhere, that's okay. Pray about it and see what God would have you to do. And there's one thing that every one of us in this room can do for this church and all of the other Christian churches throughout the world. We can all pray. That's a great ministry. That's an important ministry. I think it's important that we pray. When we got saved, Calvary Chapel, West Covina, Raul Reese's church, I was praying about being used And believe it or not, one Sunday a guy came up and said, "You know what? How would you like to serve in the ministry?" I said, "Let me pray about it." About 10 seconds later, I go, "Yeah, I'm in." And guess what? He said, "Show up next week, 8 o'clock. We need to pray." I showed up the next week, 8 o'clock. He handed me a toilet brush and a spray bottle. Welcome to ministry. Yeah, that's where you start, the bottom, the very bottom. And you know what's really interesting about that? Is that the day that I went and publicly professed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, one of the first things I noticed was how clean the restrooms were when 6,000 people were using that building. Four services, 7:30, 9:30, 11:30, 1:30, and all the restrooms were always clean all the time. And it's because people were serving, and people noticed things like that. And I think it's so important, as we see here, that we serve. For verse 13. Rufus, you remember that name? "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." That doesn't mean it was Paul's mom, but she treated Paul like a mother. But Rufus was the son of Simon. Remember Simon in the Gospel of Matthew, who was pulled out of the crowd to carry the cross of Jesus Christ? Rufus was his son. And look at what God does. He pulls this guy out of the crowd to help Jesus bear the cross. And now we see that the gospel has overflown into his son's life, into his wife's life. And so here we see both Rufus and his mother in the ministry in Rome. Greet, here we go. Asyncritus, Asyncritus, is that what it is? Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. You got to give Paul credit remembering all these names. I can't remember Bob and Jim and Sue. Greet Philologus, Julia, there's an easy one, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Here we go. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. And so here we see all of these names. Apelles was approved. Aristobulus, household where they met. Herodian was a fellow Jew. Narcissus was a household of faith. And there were laborers, Tryphena, Tryphosa, as well as the beloved Persis. And Rufus and his mother. And we see greet Asyncritus and Phlegon and Hermas and Patrobus and Hermes and the brethren with them. And in verse 15, Philologus and Julia and Nereus and his sister, as well as Olympus and all the saints with them. Whew. And I just marvel at Paul. He remembered all their names. But last but not least, he says, greet one another with a holy kiss, not a fleshly kiss or a carnal kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That's not practiced very often in America today. But when you go to the Middle East, they still kiss one another. Men kiss men on the neck, women, and you know, they greet one another with a holy kiss. It's part of their culture. And it was part of the culture in the church then to greet one another with a holy kiss. Boy, wasn't it awful the last couple years when everybody had, you know, whatever that was going around. I'm not even sure they knew what it was. But nobody would touch. Hey, give me an elbow. You know? How sad. No holy kisses going on then for 2 years with the COVID thing. We prayed. Our elder board got together. We prayed to keep the doors open. And we did. And nobody caught anything. Matter of fact, the sheep got fed. How sad it is that people are so afraid anymore. The cooties, we used to call them. You young people can Google that. Back in my day, people had the cooties. How sad. Have you noticed? You pull up to a stop sign or a signal, traffic signal, and people won't even pull up next to you anymore. And if they do, their windows are all blacked out so you can't see them. People are just so isolated and separated anymore. And it should not be that way in the body of Christ, in the church. We need one another. We need to embrace one another. You are the beloved of God. We need to hug one another. And God leads you to give someone a holy kiss, give them a holy kiss. Have I ever received one of those in this church? Yep. Check this out. Some of you may remember Stanley, the truck driver. Whenever he would leave the church at the end of the service, he would greet me with a holy kiss on my neck. A truck driver. He's in heaven now. What a great guy. But you know, there's nothing wrong with a holy kiss, but just make sure it's holy. Especially you young people. Yeah. I think it's also important that we do what God tells us to do. Also, Paul sends a greeting to them from the churches in Achaia, where he was writing from. And now when a person is building up their own physical body, we must be aware of what goes into it, right? There's a lot of people today that are health conscious. They go work out at the gym. There's a lot of people that are very, very concerned much about what goes into their physical body. But you know what? The same holds true spiritually. We have to be very, 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 very careful what goes into our spiritual body. The Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit are so important in the Lord's church. And what's Paul going to do now? He's going to warn about ungodly teachers. He's going to warn about ungodly doctrine that tries to worm its way into the body. And there is so much stuff out there. I don't have enough time to expose a lot of the things that are going on in churches out there. I did a little bit a moment ago with the Sparkle Creed and all this other false teaching. Paul sends out a warning. We're to be bodybuilders spiritually. First of all, with your own body. What goes in has an impact upon you and upon your life. It goes not only in your eyes and your ears, but down into your heart. And one of the biggest forms of pollution today is the internet and the television set. I'm just totally blown away at what I see now, even with TV commercials. We watch all the old MeTV stuff, Leave It to Beaver and Ozzie and Harriet, and all. You young people have to Google that one too. But the commercials that they bring on are just absolutely filthy. Filthy. And so look what Paul says in verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, speaking to the church, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are of such do not serve, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. What are you saying here? Even for us to this very day. When you listen to teaching, when you listen to books or read books, you need to check out the content of what is said with God's word. It's so important to be very, very careful, because there are books and movies and programs out there that are absolutely right out of the pit of hell. You need to check the content with God's Word, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. It's the truth of God's Word that will expose heresy. And so we have to be very, very careful. Paul says here to note those who cause divisions. I heard it said years ago that Satan could not defeat the church, so he joined it. It is amazing what creeps into churches. Unbelievable. I could tell you some stories, I won't, over the years of stuff that, even in Vermont, that took place. You know, had a warlock sitting right in the front row, cackling while I was preaching the Word of God. Yeah, there to infect the body of Christ. And he was really angry at me. You know why? Because his wife had just accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. They cause divisions. Note those that cause offenses. Contrary to doctrine. Doctrine's important. Where do we get doctrine? Right out of God's Word. This is where doctrine comes from. If it's not in here, we don't do it. It's God's church. And God lays out very clearly how we are to conduct ourselves and conduct his church. Very simply. He said they do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Scripture calls him sheep in wolves' clothing. Grandma, what big eyes you have. But their own fleshly appetites, smooth words, flattering speech, deceives the hearts of simple people that really don't have a grip on the Word of God. All this feel good about yourself? Name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, profess it and possess it stuff is not biblical. God said he would provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory, not all of our wants. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's not a genie. Again, I'll leave that one alone. I'll move on because I can really get fleshed out on some of these fake preachers on TV. Be wise. He says, and what is good and simple concerning evil? So important. We need wisdom. We need to be wise, godly wisdom. And one day, even out of the Old Testament, God is going to crush the head of Satan under his feet. And verse 20 says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And that's one of the many blessings about God. Grace. Getting what we don't deserve. It's so wonderful to have the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ with us constantly. I couldn't help it last week. We were talking about grace. And someone needed something. And I said, this is the grace place. I said, we're a bunch of gracists around here. I know. And the last four verses. We're there. We got through all those names. Notice what the word of the Lord says. And Paul is finally closing his greeting. I think he names, what, nine people here? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Probably eight or so. And a brother, nine. And Paul writes, Timothy, my fellow worker. And Lucius, Jason. And so, Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. I, verse 22, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. What Paul was speaking, Tertius was writing down. For whatever reason, we don't know. But he was the scribe that wrote the epistle to the Romans as Paul gave him the words to write through the power of the Holy Spirit. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city. Isn't that interesting? Here we have a guy that was a treasurer of the city of Corinth that was part of the church. He greets you. And Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And I'm going to end with that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. You all. The beloved of God, the beloved of Jesus Christ. That's you. As a believer, as part of the family of God, as a child of God, I want to encourage this morning. I want to build you up with what we see in this last chapter. You are beloved of God. I know many of us are going through some struggles, again, like I've never seen before in ministry. Really, really, really difficult times. It's a major spiritual battle. But that does not change your position in Jesus Christ. You are beloved of God in Christ Jesus, your Lord. As we close, as I always do, I want to give an invitation. Maybe God has spoken to you through the Holy Spirit this morning, showing you that you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He did not come into this world for religion. He came into this world for a personal relationship with you. And if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand quickly and do exactly what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so if you'd like to pray to receive Jesus this morning, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close. Anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these precious, beloved saints of yours here this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would take heed to what we saw in Paul's life and to what he preached. May we always be body builders, edifying, building up one another in the most holy faith. May we love your word. Give us wisdom, knowledge, insight, and discernment in all things. Especially with TV, internet, and all this, Lord, I pray that nothing would come into our hearts and minds and lives that is offensive to you. Keep us, Lord, on our knees. Keep us in your word. Keep us overflowing with your Holy Spirit in the days in which we live. May we be watching and waiting and witnessing and working, anticipating the soon return of our King. We love you, Lord. We thank you for everybody here this morning. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the worship. And now, as we go upstairs, thank you for the breaking of bread and fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all, beloved of God. Oh, we got communion, don't we? I told you my brain got raptured before my body did. All right, come on. I'm wondering why all these guys are standing in the back here. Now you know how to pray for me, huh? All right, let's pass out the cup and the bread.